courage of love. So this past Monday was February the 3rd. Church, 25 years ago, on February the 3rd, I walked into a 12th grade homeroom where I found the prettiest thing I had ever laid my eyes on. And I got the Holy Ghost up in school. I was like, oh, Jesus. I got these goosebumps that's going all over me. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I didn't think you could have goosebumps in the bottom of your feet. And I walked into that class and I said, what's up, girl? How you doing? Look, what about me and you going out on a date? Because I was cool, you know? And I was 12th grade. I was cool.
Be honest.
It didn't go down like that. I was just playing. I said, hey, look here. You date anybody? That's how it went.
Is that really how it went?
That's exactly how it went.
It took him 15 minutes to ask me out.
But I asked that girl sitting up on that platform, that lady now, 25 years ago, Monday, on a date. And she knew how good looking I was. And she could not resist. Amen, brother? She said, man, that dude is hot. And we went out on our first date. And I knew there was something different about that girl. That 12th grade high school sweetheart, there was something different. And I said, Jesus, I can't wait till the next date. It's been 25 years, and I can tell you everything we did on our first date, what she wore, what color her hair was, because it ain't what it is now. I can tell you everything about that woman. Because I was love struck. Amen. And it was a couple days and a couple months. And I knew it may be a while, but I'm going to marry her. Amen. 3 years later, after some college time and some working time and trying to learn how to be adults, on August the 1st of 1998, I married this woman right here. And as I walked down the aisle, I was shaking. I was like this all the way down the aisle, or down when we walked out. And then when she came out in that white wedding dress, I was like, oh, I felt it all over again. And I did love her. But as we go through our message today, I'm going to talk to you about how my love grew and how our love needs to grow in Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Church, I don't know if you realized it, but when you pulled in the parking lot this morning, right in the center of the yard is a sign. And it says, Abiding Love Community Church. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's who we are. We are truly about love. And so this morning, I want to talk about love. I prayed several years ago, and I said, God, I love people, but I want a true love for people. Lord, I'm stepping into pastoralship. Lord, you are blessing me and my wife with a church. And Lord, I want to make sure that there's nothing broken along the way. Lord, I want to make sure that when you send someone in that is broken, that needs you, that I love them no matter what the condition is. Amen. Lord, pour out your blessings and show me, teach me what true love is about. Now, church, I'm here to admit, 3 years later, I had no idea that he was going to dump the whole bucket out on me. And I truly today, without a shadow of a doubt, truly love people. But it didn't come just me loving people. I had to love Christ first. Amen? And that's what we're going to talk about. You know, what is love? Try to look at the inside of someone's heart. You know, a lot of times we put on a facade that, hey, nothing bothers me. I'm good. Nobody needs to pray for me. But I'm going to tell you something. When I walked into this sanctuary this morning, I was shaking. I don't know why. It wasn't my medicine because I ain't had none. Maybe that's why. But I was shaking. And the only thing I could think of is, Lord, need for you to touch me. And so I asked my mom to pray for me. I asked my beautiful wife to pray for me. And I'm standing here and I ain't shaking.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Because I always put God first. But I asked God, I said, God, you know, instead of me looking on the outward appearance, let their hearts be opened up so that we can see what's going on. Because how many know we all have our troubles and trials and tribulations and problems? Amen. That's why we're here. We come into the storehouse to be fed. We come into the storehouse to be blessed. We come into the storehouse so that we can learn and bless others. Amen. And so, God, let's show me people's hearts. Because I want to be a blessing. You don't know the walk that somebody else is walking. Amen. So many times we're so quick to judge. I didn't like what Sister Becky was wearing this morning. That skirt just wasn't. I didn't like that skirt. I didn't like what Sister Karen was wearing, Brother Charlie. I didn't like what they was wearing. That may be all they had. Amen. Lord, I didn't like what she said at lunch today. She don't know that person. You don't know what they're walking through. Amen. Pray for them. Amen.
Yes.
You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know that person. I'm going to tell you, this has been a reality check for your pastor years ago. Because I was so quick to use this thing up here instead of this right here. And that was a change in my heart when I asked God to come in and change some things. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to start off in 1 John 4 and 16. How many has ever heard the song, What's Love Got to Do with It? Now, I know you younger folks probably never heard that song. But it says, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it?
Tina Turner.
Tina Turner. Everything. Everything.
Yeah.
You know, as I was studying, and I was sitting in the chair, and I was reading and writing some notes down, I kept saying, what's love? And I've never sang that song. But I'm thinking, what's love? And then God said, everything. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with it. Amen? It has everything to do with it. Now, you guys don't be quiet on me this morning. Because I'm up here preaching. And it's hot and I'm sweating. And I need somebody to talk back so I can keep it moving. Amen?
Amen.
So, in 1 John 4 and 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. Amen? And God is love. He hath dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen?
Amen.
God is love.
Amen.
So how does this thing work, Pastor? I'm glad you asked, because we're fixing to learn. True love begins with the love of God. You know, I love this lady up here. I love y'all. I love my parents. I love my children. I love my in-laws. But it came with something first. It came with a love that I had to love God first. Because you don't really truly love until you love him first. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're fixing to learn, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What do you mean I got to love God first? God loves me. Oh, yeah, he does. Oh, he does. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your what? All of your heart, and with all of your what?
Soul.
And with all of your what?
Mind.
Amen. And with all of your heart, soul, and mind. To love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind is to love him with all of your power, with all of you. So we have to put him first. Now, church, it hasn't always been that way for your pastor. But there came a day where I said, God, I want to love you. God, I want to love you more than anything. I want you to show me that agape love. I want to love thy neighbor. I want to love my wife more than I do. And from that day forward, God is continuing to teach me about love. Amen? God is a supreme being. And we are to love him supremely.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Above anyone or anything else in our lives.
Yes.
So on Sunday morning, when it's church time, and your wife or your husband's in the bed, it's okay. Get up. Put on your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Come and learn mm-hmm. about God. Come and feel the love from your brother and your sister. Mm-hmm. Come and be in God's house to learn and be fed and be spiritually motivated to face that next week, because it's going to be a doozy.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7 tells us what a person who really loves will do. Amen? This is the first one I want you to write down. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. Now, if you want to go home today and read everything that I've given you, that's awesome. If you want to break it up, so be it. But I want you to understand where your pastor's coming from. Because believe it or not, love is a commandment in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all through those Genesis revelations. There's commandments throughout the Bible. Another one, 1 John 4 through 8, tells us that God is love. Amen? That's going to be 1 John 4 through 8. I'm sorry, 4 verse 8. This tells us that God is love. How can you and I know that we have this supreme love for God? Amen? What did I just tell you? It's a commandment. It's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us if we keep God's commandments, he'll show us.
Yes.
Amen? So here's some more studies for this week. John 14, 21. This tells us if we love to spend time in prayer with God and time reading his holy word, he'll show us love. Amen. Matthew 18, 20. You guys writing these down? Hebrews 1, 1 through 2. Hebrews 4 and 16. Matthew 18, 20.
Okay.
Hebrews 1, 1 through 2.
Okay.
And Hebrews 4 and 16. If we try every day to please God, these are our verses. Amen?
Yes.
If we try every day to please God, Matthew 6 and verse 10. If we sacrifice every day for God, this is our scripture. If we sacrifice every day for God, Acts 20 and 35. If we are motivated and on fire to do things for God, amen, and for the church, it's a growth process. These are our scriptures. Amen? So you have all these written down. If you miss one of them, come see me, and I'll give them to you. But I wanted to give these verses to you this morning as part of the introduction, because I had prayed things through the last several years, and I'm like, God, I want growth in love. And I refer to this commandment. God, I want to love you first, so I go to my commandment. God, I want to try every day of my life to please you,
yes.
To love you. Yes. Here's my commandment. Amen? So, church, my question is to you after this week. Does your life and lifestyle show these commandments? Amen? That's a hard question for a pastor to ask his congregation. Because these are questions I ask myself as I'm wanting to love more of him. If not, then we need to make some changes. Amen? Jesus, this is what we have to understand, church. Jesus died on the cross for you and for myself. And I'm going to tell you, if we can't give him a little bit of our time and a little bit of our love and say, God, I need you to change me. God, I need you to do an extreme makeover in my heart. Lord, I need you to take an extreme makeover in my soul, because I love you and you alone. Amen?
Yes.
So, getting back to this pretty young thing sitting over here. So we became married, and life was great, and we were working, and we were living life. And one day, she says, "Baby, we're going to have a baby." And I was saying, "Are you kidding?" And I was so excited. And then I changed my love perspective for my wife. And I said, "This beautiful thing is going to have a baby." Well, God didn't see fit for us to have a baby. So, going through that, what this pretty thing had to endure, made my heart grow. Because the stuff that a female has to go through in childbirth, if a husband don't get changed by that, he can't be changed. Amen. And then a little while longer, she came to me and she says, "Baby, we're going to have a baby." And I was so excited and I was so nervous. And I said, "Jesus, I ask you right now that I'm a sinner saved by grace. But you touch this pretty little thing. You touch her body. You touch that living baby inside of her." And I did say living. Amen. I did say living.
Yes.
When you find out you're pregnant, that's living.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And I asked God, I said, "Lord, touch that baby. Take care of that baby." And then we go to the doctor and they do blood tests. And they say, "Look, you've tested positive for that child to have like Down syndrome or something. But we can do all these tests." I said, no. Doesn't change anything. Because that's our baby. That's our baby. That baby came out perfect. He didn't want to eat. But he came out perfect. And I watched my wife for 3 days. 3 days in labor. And I said, "Lord, I just thought I loved her. But I love her more today than I ever have." 3 years later, it happened again. 3 years later, it happened again. Then we stopped. But we had three. And church, I'm here to tell you, because I will always tell you the truth. I will always be a real pastor. I will always, always, who I am here is who I am at home. And who I am at home is who I am at work. And who I am at work is who I am around all of y'all.
Yes.
Or anybody else. I love my wife more than I did God. You hear me? Because I worshiped the very ground she walked on. Because I wanted to do everything for her. I did not want her to have to do anything. Because my love for her had grown, so I thought. When you love your spouse before you love God, trouble's coming. Trouble's coming, church. And one day, I said, "God, this thing ain't working. God, something ain't right. God, you got to change her." What I didn't realize is he had to change me. And I got on my knees and I said, "God, I ask you today, as a saved Christian before you, to change my heart. Lord, I love you more than I do anything. I love you more than I do my wife. I love you more than I do my children. I love you more than my parents. I love you more than my in-laws. I love you more than my friends. I love you more than anything." And from that day forward is when I started true love. That day forward, I understand what true love's about. Let me tell you something, young kids. Look at me. I like you, or I love you. You love me. You don't love that person. You like that person a whole lot. You two back there, you think you love one another. But when you wake up to that spouse every day,
yeah,
and you look over there and she's not feeling good, or she's 9 months pregnant and you have to leave in the middle of the night and go buy ice cream, that's true love. That's true love.
Yeah.
Amen. But it comes by loving God first. It comes by putting Him first. It comes with a price that you've got to love God before anything else. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's why I told Brother Hayes, Sister Hayes, last week, when you were standing up here before me, y'all remind me so much of me and my wife. Because, brother, you worship the ground she walks on. You love her. That's what we're supposed to do. In my bathroom right now, with a Sharpie magic marker right on the mirror, what does it say? on my side, or did you forget? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a big responsibility and some big shoes to fill. Amen? Amen? But I look at that every day. Every single day. Before I leave my house, me and my wife hold hands. And I know I've said this 100 times, but I always tell her, I love you. And I say, God, touch her today. Look for your blessings, your promises, your prosperity, and what God has for you. Have an awesome and a fantastic day. Keep that head up, because this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Pray to God. Tell God that you love Him,
yes,
and His creation. Honor God's name. Amen. Love yourself so that you can love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Ooh, uh-oh. Maybe stepping on some toes here. Pastor, you don't have any enemies, so it's easy for you to say.
No,
ooh. We'll talk about 3 weeks after church. Practice forgiveness and compassion for others. Mm. It's really, really hard for us to forgive somebody when they've done us wrong, when they've said bad things to us, when they've lied on us, when they've said some stuff that you didn't like. It's pretty hard to pray for that person. It's pretty hard to have some compassion over that person. Hello? Hello?
Amen.
That's right, buddy. It is very hard. But do we believe this? Do we believe this? It's funny, because I want you to remember what I just said. Practice forgiving and compassion and praying for others and your enemies. Remember I said that, because we're going to talk about it in a minute. Make love a priority in your life. Amen. There's not a person that I don't have a problem going up and hugging or shaking their hand and saying I love you, because I've asked God for that love. Amen. Pastor, why should we make love a priority? The Bible commands us to. We should love one another. Indeed, this can be very hard. But if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 John 3:11. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Sister Monica, I am standing up here, and there is nothing between you and I love you. And that goes for everybody in here. Amen? Because if the Bible tells me as a commandment that I should love one another, that's a commandment that I'm going to withhold. Amen? I will do it above and beyond what I can think of. This scripture doesn't mean to pick and choose who you love. Amen? It didn't mean that I love Brother Hayes, but I don't love Blake Brown. No, sir. I love everybody. We can't pick and choose, church. Amen. Just because you don't like something that somebody does, you know what I would tell you to do? Pray for yourself. Ask God to open your heart to change you. Amen. Because in changing you, if there's something that they're doing wrong, it may change them. Understand the importance of love. It tells us in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. There's that love one another thing again. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, this is pretty huge, because this is written in red. And how many knows that things that are written in red comes from who? Jesus. So, this is, to me, really, really important, because when I read it, this is straight from Jesus. And He's telling me that this is written for me to love thy neighbor. Amen? Let me ask you this. How many in this room love Jesus?
Amen.
Amen? I hope everybody. So if we say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Well, we just read that we're supposed to love one another. Amen. the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. Amen. That's pretty powerful. That's the fulfillment of the law. Church, it's time that we start putting Jesus first. It's time that we start to love. Amen. It's time that we start praying for one another, blessing one another, speak positive over one another. Amen. And pray. Pray for one another. As I needed prayer this morning, as I was all jittery up here, I know people love me. I ask for prayer. It's amazing how prayer works.
Amen.
There's people in this church that's been healed.
Yes.
By putting God first in His commandments and loving one another and praying. I love God more today than ever. It is funny that over the last couple of months, I've had some enemies come against me. Amen. I've had some people say some pretty harsh things about me. To my face. Behind my back. Probably more than I even know of. But it's funny how God keeps bringing these people to my remembrance. And I said, God, why do I keep thinking about these people? God, why does this keep coming up? What are you showing me? Because they don't get mad. They used to get mad. So God, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to show me? I said, teach me. Teach me what I'm supposed to, what you're trying to tell me. I want to know. And he told me, driving down the road, pray for him. Pray for him. Because a lot of times when we're hurting, we use this as a tool to fire back. And crazy enough as it is, it happens to ones we love the most. How many times have we come home from work, we've had a bad day, and the first ones we lash out at is the ones we love the most? Sometimes, you can't do it at work because you get fired. So when you come home, it's all built up, and you're walking in the house with a chip on your shoulder. You're like, what'd you do that for? It's not her fault. But that's what we do because that's our human nature. So I've learned not to fire back at my enemies. I've learned to close my mouth. Walk away. And I've learned to pray. Yes, your pastor is still human. And he's only going to take so much. And then he's going to ask them kindly to remove themselves from the situation so that I don't forego through the fivefold ministry. I'm just playing. But church, it is amazing to me how when we're going through something, God's always right there. When somebody's firing at us, when somebody's coming against us, it just stays there until we start learning how to pray. Church, when I ask God to show me true love for people, I didn't say, God, show me true love for my church people. God, show me true love to the people that I like. God, show me true love for my family. God, show me true love for you. God, show me true love for just this person. I said, God, show me true love for people and for you. And I did not have any clue what I was asking when I asked it. Because God has tendered this heart. God has tendered my spirit and my soul. Because if you need something, it's in everything that I can do to get it. If it's you need prayer at 3:00 in the morning, I'm praying. Amen. And these enemies that have come against me, it's amazing how God may change their heart if I start to pray.
Amen.
This little thing called prayer, believe it or not, works. Believe it or not, works. So the next time that you need something or you're going through something, pray for somebody else. Don't pray for yourself. Pray for somebody else. God, Lord, I ask you to give such and such a job. Lord, I ask you to give such and such a spouse. Lord God, I ask you to give them finances. I ask you to give them whatever. Whatever you need, you pray for somebody else. Because it's amazing how God sees the compassion in your heart. He sees the loyalty to him in your heart. He sees the faithfulness in your heart to pray for somebody else. You put somebody else before yourself, and God honors that. Amen. We are to love God more. Amen. That is what love is all about. And that is what love's got to do with it. Amen, Miss Tina. That is what love's got to do with it. Church, it's on our sign. It's on our sign. It's on our ink pens. It's on our bus. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our
cars.
It's on our cars. But it's on everything that we touch here. Every social media thing that we have that I don't even know how it works, it's on there. Amen? Because we are to love. We are to love. Brother Hayes, the first time I ever met you, you had that love. And then you really became my hero and was out here cutting grass one day, and it was, I couldn't see the lines in the grass. And I rode around, and here Mr. Hayes is just finishing it up. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for a neighbor who loves. Thank you, Jesus, for godly neighbors. Yes. Amen? Because when we first started this ministry, we went around to the surrounding areas, and we had little messages that we threw rocks out into people's driveways. All around, we had cars going everywhere. Everywhere. Saying that we love you. We love this community. We're here for you. Would you believe that when we got back on this piece of property, they had thrown them up here to the church? They had thrown the rocks at the church. Your pastor really got fleshy there for about 5 seconds. And I said, Lord, why in the past? Well, forgive me, Lord. Because they just may not know you. Lord, I ask you to speak to them. Lord, I even ask you to bless them. That was a hard one. Because when you throw rocks at God's house, I get really upset. Amen? Yeah. But this week, what I want you to do is I want you to read the comments about love. Like I said before, in closing, if you didn't get some of these that I was putting out there, come find me after church and I'll give you these commandments. But I'm telling you, this Bible, this tool, this lifeline, this Word of God, this handbook, this everything, this everything, this everything. This is the Word. And if it's in here, you can take it to any bank. Any bank. Last 2 weeks ago, when I was at home, all by myself, just me and God, devil plays tricks on you. Devil plays bad tricks on you. Even your pastor. And I laid there, couldn't see the wall in my bedroom because I had such a headache. I laid in my bed thinking, this is it. This is it. You know what I did? I got out of bed. I grabbed my tool. I couldn't read it. I couldn't look at it. Knew where it was at. But I grabbed it. Put it right here. Right here. And I laid down. And I started praying. I went to sleep praying. And it's amazing because once I took that first step and I said, okay, God, this ain't only just a tool, but this is the whole medicine cabinet.
That's right.
The whole medicine cabinet wrapped up into this word. And I grabbed it and I just said, whatever medicine that I need in this old broken down body, in this sick body, in my head, in my heart, whatever it is, just dump it in there. Lord, I ask you just to dump it in there. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for everything you're doing, everything you've done, everything you're going to do in the future. Lord, we put you first in everything. And I just prayed that. And I went to sleep. And do you know, I don't know how long I was asleep, but I woke up and I was clenching this Bible. But you know, when we go to sleep, we're just kind of like, but I was still holding tight. Tight. And I woke up and I could look at the wall. I could see the pictures in there. And I was thinking, your word is true. Your word is 100% what we need every single day of our lives. Your holy anointing is in this book, and we take it for granted. Amen. Church, this week I want you to study that word. You're not going to go in my house and not find a Bible in just about every room. I don't think there's one in the bathroom, but there's one in just about every room in my house. And there's about 50 in my bedroom. I got Bibles. That's a study Bible from Billy Graham. We've got Dates Bibles. We've got King James Version. I've got parallel Bibles. We've got anything you can think of. But the Word is in that book in my house. Amen?
Yes.
Because I don't want to ever not be able to find what I'm looking for. Amen? I can get all hearts and eyes to be closed for a second.